We're back, and it is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. You can write to us at thetaylorreport@ciut.fm. And I believe we're joined by Zafar Benkash, Crescent International. Are you there, Zafar?
Hello, Phil. Yes, I am.
Thank you very much, Zafar, for joining us. You had an important event this past Saturday in solidarity with Kashmir. And I have to say, Canadian media seems to go out of its way not to discuss this subject. So would you please tell us why it's necessary to take these actions and to get the attention of the world to the subject of Kashmir?
Yes, thank you very much for this opportunity. The event is referred to as Kashmir Solidarity Day, and it is normally observed on February the 5th. But since February the 5th this year fell on a weekday, obviously it was not quite convenient to organize it on a weekday because people are busy with their work, etc. So we had it on a Saturday, February the 9th, mm-hmm. and we had a good attendance. There were a number of speakers. Ken Stone from the Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War was there. There was a representation from the Sikh community. There was also Reverend Karen Rodman who spoke, and also we had a guest speaker from Washington, D.C., Imam Muhammad Al-Asi. And basically, this event is commemorated to draw, first of all, to express solidarity with the ongoing struggle of the Kashmiri people. Secondly, to highlight the suffering of the Kashmiri people at the hands of the nearly 1 million strong Indian army of occupation. Mm-hmm. India maintains 700,000 troops and another 300,000 paramilitary forces. So basically, India has 1 million armed troops in Kashmir, whose total population is 12 million, the area that's under Indian occupation. Mm-hmm. So this makes that region the most militarized region in the world. And as you mentioned, regrettably, the media here, and indeed in much of the Western world, they don't pay any attention to the suffering of the Kashmiri people, although it's the region is very important. It's been ongoing since 1947, so we are talking about nearly 72 years of ongoing struggle of the Kashmiri people. There are at least 18 United Nations Security Council resolutions that call for holding a referendum there so that the people can decide their own future. Mm-hmm. But India, that claims to be the world's largest democracy, is, for some strange reason, afraid of something as democratic as holding a referendum. Instead, they want to hold the people of Kashmir at gunpoint.
Yeah, can I ask you, just on that point, it's always struck me as so important that this issue was put to the United Nations by the government of India itself.
That is correct. In fact, they when the uprising of the people started in October of 1947, because they were expecting that Kashmir would automatically join Pakistan when India and Pakistan came into existence, because the overwhelming majority of the population of Kashmir is Muslim. The ruler, who happened to be Hindu, and he was manipulated by the Indian leadership, and essentially he signed an instrument of accession, which was a temporary measure. Which should not have, to start with, the ruler had actually fled the capital city because there was an uprising against him. So he had essentially abdicated his power. He was mm-hmm. no longer in control of the situation. And yet the Indian government coerced him into signing this instrument of accession. But it was stated that it's a provisional accession. It is not a permanent accession. And that the ultimate status of Kashmir would be determined following a referendum when the people themselves would decide. And this is what the people are asking for. And of course, when the people's uprising started, India sent its army over there. And the people were able to confront the Indian army. And it was India then that took the matter to the UN Security Council, asking that the UN intervene to restore peace so that conditions can be created to hold a referendum. Mm-hmm. Now, India did that because the people's uprising obviously was taking over. They were able to capture certain parts of the state, and the Indian army and government felt that if this uprising continued, then the Indian army would not be able to maintain the people's uprising. So they very cleverly and cunningly took the matter to the Security Council, and they had no intention of honoring their pledges there that they made, but they just wanted to buy time. And that is what has happened since that time. Mm-hmm. One other factor that I think Canadians should be aware of, and that is that at that time, when India took the matter to the Security Council, Canada happened to be a rotating member of the Security Council, and a Canadian general, General McNaughton, was actually the president of the Security Council at the time. Mm-hmm. And a resolution was passed, the first resolution, in January of 1948. We're talking about a very long time ago, but these things ought to be known. And it was categorically stated that a referendum would be held. There were actually three conditions. Number one, that there should be an immediate ceasefire of forces wherever they are. Mm-hmm. So obviously, there were, the Pakistan army had also got involved in it. So certain areas were under Pakistani army control, others were under Indian army control. So the first thing was to have a ceasefire. Mm-hmm. Second, that both countries, India and Pakistan, should remove the bulk of their forces from the areas that they have under their control. And third, that a referendum would be held. So the ceasefire was agreed upon, and that came into effect. But India flatly refused to withdraw its forces from Kashmir. In fact, instead, it has, as I mentioned, it maintains now a million troops in Kashmir. Mm-hmm. And Pakistan has repeatedly stated that they are quite willing to withdraw their forces, provided India does the same so that conditions can be created to hold a referendum. But mm-hmm. India has simply kept on playing for time, and now it flatly refuses to hold a referendum claiming that Kashmir is its integral part. Kashmir has never been part of India. And I think there are a few other considerations that we need to keep in mind, that there have been periodic uprisings against India. And the last uprising that began, which was in January of 1989, to the present time, to January 2019, so far in this 30-year period, 95,223 civilians have been killed in Kashmir. So that's mm-hmm. almost 100,000 people that have been killed in a 30-year period. Mm-hmm. There are more than 10,000 people that are missing. And these are people that are missing because the Indian army has simply grabbed them and taken them away. And their families simply do not know what has happened to these people.
I should ask you, is there practice to remove them from Kashmir itself, or do they keep them in prisons in Kashmir? What do you know
okay,
about that?
Okay, well, that's something that is unknown in the sense...
10,000 unknown.
Unknown, because you see, the thing is that, there are many women whose husbands were taken away. And the Indian government and the Indian army simply would not provide them any information. So although not 10,000, women, mm-hmm. Married women are there, because some of these men that were picked up were not married, but the overwhelming majority of them were married, and their wives are in a limbo. They don't know whether they have become widows mm-hmm. or what should they do. So this has gone on for decades now. Mm-hmm. And that's another issue for them. And in fact, about 15, 20 years ago, a number of mass graves were discovered in Kashmir. And they found the remains of something like 7 or 8,000 people from those graves. And the people of Kashmir have demanded that the remains that have been recovered from those graves, that DNA tests should be done to determine who are the ones that were buried in these graves. Mm-hmm. India refuses to do that. It would not identify the remains of those people so that, again, families that have lost their loved ones are unable to either identify their loved ones. They don't know whether, you know, the remains that have been discovered are of their loved ones or whether they should expect their loved ones to come back, etc. Uh-huh. You know, these are some of the horrible things that are going. And one final thing I want to mention that since July of 2016, when a young freedom fighter by the name of Burhan Wani, he was killed by the Indian Army in a northern town of Kashmir. The people's struggle, in fact, intensified again. And this time, the Indian Army has been using pellet guns, which they refer to as non-lethal weapons. But these are bullets that fire hundreds of pellets, and the Indian Army shoots people in their faces. And so at least 1,000 people have been blinded. There are several thousand others that have either lost one eye or have been partially blinded. In December of last year, December 2018, an 18-month-old baby was hit in the face, and she has been blinded. Yeah. And these Indian soldiers are totally, they're totally willful disregard for human life or human dignity. They don't care. And this poor girl, the 18-month-old baby, her mother was holding her in her lap, and the mother was looking outside the window from her second floor, you know, house. And this soldier just pointed a gun straight at them and shot the girl straight in the face, and she was blinded. And this is, you know, a baby held in the mother's arms, doing nothing but simply looking at what was happening on the street below. So these are the kinds of things that are going on in Kashmir, and the programs that we hold in Canada, they are meant to draw attention to these atrocities so that Canadians would become aware of it. And I'm glad that you know, more and more Canadians are becoming aware of this. And I'm also grateful for the opportunity that you provide to us to be able to explain some of the things that are going on in Kashmir.
Well, we're very glad to talk to you. And, of course, you and I agree. The solution is standing in front of them. Have a vote.
Simply
carry out the agreement of the United Nations under Macnaughton and others. Have the referendum, and people can live at peace.
That's correct, yes.
Safar Benghash, it's a great pleasure to talk to you, and we wish you success on the Kashmir matter. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Phil. Really appreciate for the opportunity. Thank you.
Bye-bye. This is the Taylor Report. You can write to us, the Taylor Report at CIUT.FM.